Have you ever had a crush on someone? Wow, they answered aloud. Okay. Have you ever been friend zoned? Have you ever been ghosted by someone who said they liked you? We have a lot of interesting terms to describe the joys and sorrows of romantic relationships, don't we? Let me ask you this. Have you ever felt like something was wrong with you because you didn't have a boyfriend or girlfriend? Parents, have you ever felt like things were going fine until your child started having feelings for someone and now you have more arguments? Now, you may not have had any of these experiences, but they are not uncommon in our world today. Many think that dating relationships are no big deal. But if that's true, then why does there seem to be so much confusion and pain surrounding them? If they are a big deal, then it's worth doing some thinking about and trying to find some wisdom to help. The culture is teaching us every day what to think about dating. If you're paying attention, you probably notice that most people have more questions than answers. Think about movies. How many times is the plot based on deceit or broken promises? If you ever, like, within the first 10 minutes, you want to, like, give some biblical counseling to the people, the couple, you know, and then the movie would be over in 11 minutes, right? You know, it's like the guy lies to impress a girl, causes major problems, he's finally humbled, apologizes, and they kiss in the end. Not exactly the solid base of godly maturity and wisdom to build the relationship on, right? Or what about songs? So many love songs, right? They're everywhere. And did you know, this is amazing to me, I looked this up. The phrase, love you forever, is part of the lyrics of over one million times. Love you forever is in a lyric. Isn't that amazing? Here's a sample. Yeah, 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 baby girl, yeah. Love you forever, ooh. I love you forever. Please don't leave me, yeah, oh. Love you forever, oh. Or then there's all the breakup songs, which seem to be just as popular. So keep that in your mind, love you forever. Here's a couple. You said forever, now I drive alone past your street. Or there's this one. Wish I hadn't bought you dinner right before you dumped me on your front porch. I didn't make that up. It sounds like one that I would have, but. So why are they so filled with pain, confusion, broken promises, etc.? Now, a lot of you probably say, hey, it's okay. I don't agree with all that I'm hearing and seeing in popular culture. But what are you filling your mind with about this topic? Where are you getting your thoughts from about dating relationships? In fact, I'm curious, do you have a philosophy of dating? Does that sound weird to you that I would ask you if you have a philosophy of dating? Does that sound too intellectual, cerebral? Does it sound weird, too formal? Do you think, isn't dating simple? Or what's the big deal? Or do we really need a whole message on it? Here's another way to say it. Do you know what you believe about dating? Who or what type of person to date? If you should date, when, where, how? Have you thought about why to date? You ever wonder how so many people are like, he cheated on me. You know, we were committed. What were you committed to exactly? Marriage? No, what are you talking about? It's crazy. Okay, so then what were you committed to? Well, actually, you were committed to being together until one or both of you decided you didn't feel like it. That's actually what was going down there. But he cheated, he betrayed, implied this commitment. So that just, I'm not advocating for, you know, cheating and betrayal and not, you know, thinking a thing of it. What I'm saying is people haven't thought through what the purpose of it is to begin with before they jump in because, quote, everybody's doing it. Okay? Let me ask you this. How much do you think about it? How much do you think about it? Do you spend a lot of time thinking about having a crush on someone, or what dating will be like, or who likes who, or who you will marry someday. I'm not saying it's right or wrong to think about a lot, just to get you to think about how big of a deal it is in your mind. You follow? You with me? One more round of questions to get you thinking. Do you know what your parents think about it? Now, some of you be like, I actually know a little too much about what they think about it, okay? Well, have you talked about it? Have you talked about it in a peaceful time, not just on the heels of an argument where that's added in, you know? Do you agree? Do you know what you believe about dating? Do you know what your parents think about it? And do you agree? Do you know what God thinks about it? Well, Mr. Keeler, I looked up dating in my concordance and it wasn't there, so I was like, hey, he's fine. He doesn't have anything to say about it. Well, maybe he does. Do you know what the Bible says about it? And does that matter to you? Okay, enough questions. Let me tell you where I'm going with all this. Tonight, I'm going to try to convince you that you should have a biblical philosophy of dating. I'm going to try to show you how to develop one, and then how parents and teens can talk about dating relationships in a healthy, helpful, peaceful way. So first, why should you have a biblical philosophy of dating? Now, if you've forgotten, this handout has some notes on the back, so it might be helpful for you to look at this if you're somebody that it's helpful for you to stay engaged with what's being spoken if you have notes, okay? So what is a philosophy? A philosophy is an overall vision or attitude toward life and the purpose of it. Without having a personal philosophy, we end up living without direction. A philosophy is a particular system of principles for the conduct of life. What does the Bible say about philosophy? A lot of people in the church would say, philosophy, that's for the world. No, it's not for Christians. We have faith. Well, look at Colossians 2:8. It says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy. Don't stop there. Some people make the mistake of stopping there, and there's the sentence is clearly still running there, right? See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, comma, according to human tradition, according to the principles of the world, and not according to Christ. In other words, don't be fooled by non-Christian philosophy. Don't be fooled by philosophy that is not rooted in Christ. Do you get it? Do you see that there in Colossians 2:8? It's important that you see it, okay? All right, now, this means that we should base our attitude toward life on Christ and not get deceived by other attitudes that are in the world. So, what is a biblical philosophy of dating? A biblical philosophy of dating is an attitude toward dating that is based on a set of biblical principles. Does that make sense so far? All right. So, do you see the point? If dating is a part of your life, or might be one day, you should know what God thinks about it and line up your attitude with His. Doesn't that make sense? If you date, you should date to the glory of God. Remember 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. It doesn't say whatever you do except for dating, right? Whatever you do. You should also watch out for getting tricked by foolish ideas about it that are common in our society. Just because something seems normal doesn't mean that it's right or wise. Did you hear that? Just because something seems normal, quote, everybody's doing it, doesn't mean it's right or wise. You have to remember that we are living in a world that has been messed up by sin. That's why you have all the breakup songs. People are just writing out of their, they're actually using their gifts that God gave them to write about their own personal experience, but it includes a lot of pain because they don't know about His principles for these relationships in a lot of cases. If you still aren't convinced, ask yourself this. Do you want to honor God in every area of your life? If not, why not? Maybe God wants you to hear this dating talk tonight to show you that you have not yet surrendered your whole life to Him. and are still trying to call the shots. Like, thanks for the salvation, thanks for heaven, but I got this. Don't mess with this part. Now, how to develop, hopefully you're convinced, all right? If not, please talk to me later. Give me another shot, okay? How to develop a biblical philosophy of dating. And you don't have to use, if these words are too big for you, you can break it down, you know? Like, how to really put some thought into it. What is that show where the quote, the repeating quote is, I don't think you thought that through all the way, you know? Like, think this through. You understand? That's all we're talking about. Now, have you heard of the five W's and an H? What, why, who, where, when, and how? So let me sum this next part up like this. Ask those questions, find the truths in Scripture, and pray to live them out. Ask those questions, find the truths that answer them, and then pray to live them out. Now, if you get that, that'll be good, okay? Like, even if you zone out, now please try not to zone out, okay? Ask God for mercy on your brain and help you to pay attention the whole way through, okay? We just had a recent survey among some young teens about what did they think their average attention span was. And based on the data that I got, they're not going to make it through this talk, okay? But God can intervene and help you, all right? We can grow in this, all right? But if you get this, then it'll help you with all this other stuff. And I've got a lot in your notes so you can go back and follow up with, okay? All right, so what? All right, when you think about dating, what is it? Or how should we think about it, okay? Well, do all to the glory of God, including dating relationships. So we know that whatever it is, it should be done for His glory, right? To say He is great. So we're following His directions. We're thanking Him for our lives and for relationships, right? He's the one who's designed us to be the way we are, yet we have sin that has to be dealt with. So we have to fall in line with what He says. Now, don't forget, 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2 says, encourage younger men as brothers and younger women as sisters in all purity. So don't forget that if you are a follower of Christ and the person that you like is a follower of Christ, then you're actually brother and sister in Christ. You understand? That's powerful, right? That is a deeper relationship. In other words, think about it like this, guys. Would you think about her or do what you want to do with her if Jesus was right there? Okay? And if you say yes, then you're interacting with her to the glory of God. If you say no, then you're not. And heads up, He is right there. Okay? And if you're His, He's in you, right? You're united to Him. You understand? Okay, and you can trust Him. All right, now, let's keep going. What about the why? Dating is a big deal because marriage is a big deal. Whoa, what is marriage? Where are you getting marriage? Okay, so let's back up. All right, so here's the thing why I'm bringing in marriage. I know some of you are like, why does he keep talking about marriage? I'm just trying to, you know, have fun. All right, so do you live in a society where it is normal for people to have arranged marriages?
No.
Ew, you might say, or the thought of it. You might say, or whoa, never thought about that. And some parents might be, you know, that's actually a pretty good idea. Well, we're not in a society like that. So you got to ask ourselves, how do most people end up being married? Now, I have talked to some guys that, you know, they saw a girl passing by, they asked her out, they dated for 2 weeks and got married, and, you know, they're doing fine now. But let me tell you, that is the exception, okay? It's like a miracle. Okay. Typically, there is a dating relationship that precedes marriage, right? And like I always say, if you're a Christian, well, dating relationships end up either in marriage, breaking up, or living together. If you're a Christian, living together is not an option, so that means marriage or breaking up. So are you signing up for either one? 14-year-olds, when you launch your dating relationship, Are you like, yes, I'm pursuing marriage? Or are you like, yes, I hope to break up within the month? That's not what you sign up for, right? But yet you sign up for it anyway because you hadn't thought it through. That's why I'm here, to love you and help you. Okay. Now, dating is a big deal because marriage is a big deal. Hebrews 13:4 says, let marriage be held in honor among all. Now, this is not me. You don't need to freak out the other way and think that just because you have a crush on someone that you're destined to marry them. No. All right? But you got to admit that it does precede that, right? Does that make sense? So there is a logical connection there. Okay? All right. And by the way, I'm just speaking principles tonight, so I can't get into like every single age of how to apply this all with unique, you know, family dynamics and all that stuff, all right? So have mercy and I'll get you out here a little early. All right, if God gives you the gift of singleness, it's okay to not date, all right? I'll just leave that there. Jose Troche gave a whole sermon on this from 1 Corinthians 7, so you can go listen to that. If God gives you the gift of marriage, notice both are gifts, dating can help you determine who and when you will marry. Both are a gift, and 1 Corinthians 7 says, to live as you're called. Verse 7 says, each has his own gift from God. And verse 17 says, let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. All right, now who? A genuine Christian, filled with the fruit of the Spirit, and mature. I know that's a high bar, but look at the principles. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. All right? You know, it's the metaphor of the yoke, which was what they put on the oxen to keep them going in the same direction, right? If you're in a yoke, but one of you's facing this way and one of you's facing this way, then you're going to do what? Spin in circles, right? It's not going to go too well, all right? A lot of people don't know what's wrong with their relationship. That's what's wrong, okay? They're headed in two different directions. All right. Filled with the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:16 says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And then it says, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. That sounds like the result of a lot of dating relationships, doesn't it? Now, it's not specifically talking about that. It's just interesting if you think about it in that light, right? A lot of people, their main source of stress or conflict in their life or in the life of their friend group or whatever is because of this in and out of relationships. All right, just an observation point for your consideration, okay? Now, 1 Corinthians 13:11 says this, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. All right? So you probably, if you're a girl, you probably want to end up being married to a man, not a boy, right? If you're a guy, you probably want to end up being married to a woman, not a girl. You follow? So trust me, you're going to want that person to be mature, all right? But if you're taking your immature self, I'm sorry, I don't have time to not speak straight, guys, so just know that I love you, okay? If you're just taking your immature self, signing up for a relationship with another immature person, right? Well, then do you know that you're both headed towards maturity? And if you're not, you're already rolling the dice. It's already risky. Does that make sense? Does that mean that your feelings are not legitimate? No, they are. But does that mean they should rule you? No, they shouldn't. Is there help for you? Yes, there is. Is it easy? No. But life ain't easy. That's why we need Jesus. Okay. Everybody okay? Are your toes all right? All right. We'll keep going. Where? Now, this one I'm not going to spend a lot of time on, just to say the Bible says honor your parents, and it says let Christ be in charge, not your selfish desires. So with those two things, you can figure out where you should have that dating relationship, you know? Should it be behind closed doors, one-on-one, at 1 a.m., in the dark, with no accountability? Would that, your parents go along with that? Would that let Christ be in charge, not selfish desires? Or, now, you don't have to go to the other extreme, you know, and like fill out an application to talk to the girl from across the room in the parlor or whatever. You know, I'm not saying that, okay? All right, I'm just saying, look at the principles, take it to the Lord, pray about it, talk it through, and guess what? If the parent and the teen are still fighting mad about this, you haven't prayed it through yet. You're not done. And if you can't get to agreement, you need help. Come get help. Now you got the church and the home and the youth ministry all working together. You get it? You follow? Okay. Let's keep going. How? With wisdom. How do you get wisdom? Well, first of all, do you know that you need it?
Yes.
Okay. If you don't, I will prove it to you at this time. All right. Have you ever said, I don't know what to do? Have you ever thought, I don't know what to do? What you're saying is, I need wisdom. Okay? So we all need it. Get it? Great. All right. So how do you get it? James 1:5, ask for it. God is awesome. He loves to give it to you without saying, why are you asking for that? Right? He's telling you to ask for it. He's got it. He's the source of it. Ask him for it. Proverbs 2, from God's mouth comes wisdom. So how do you get it? From his word, right? And then Proverbs 24:6 says there's wisdom in many counselors. These counselors are people that are going to tell you God's word. So you get it from God himself, God's word, and God's people. That's how you get it. Go get it. Go get it, guys. Go get it. All right. Trust God with your future. James 4 says, don't make plans and assume, but say if the Lord wills. Okay? Trust him with your future. Do you think he's got it? You think he's got you? Do you think he knows your future? Do you think he knows right now who some of your grandkids are going to be? Well, I said some because some of you might not have them, but anybody that's going to have them, he knows who they are already. You follow? Right? He knows he's got it. He's got you. Do you think he's up there running the universe and he can't handle your love life? Nay, my friends, that is a deception. He can. Okay? All right. Now, listen, if you hear me sounding like I'm, you know, fussing at you, I'm not, all right? I'm trying to get through what, if you've been just letting the world feed you how you think about this, and it's just been like layering up like a bunch of sludge, I'm trying to bust through that, all right? That's what's going on, okay? All right, trust God with your future. Don't love the world, don't copy the world. So says 1 John and Romans 12. Don't love the world, don't copy the world. All right, now when? Okay, some of you guys have been doing great. You've been tracking with me. This one is the most painful point for you. That's why I left it for last. However, I'm giving it to you because if some of you ignore it, you're going to have more pain than if you don't. All right? So let's check it out. When should I date? Now, everybody, this kind of rolls out differently in different lives, right? You know, so like I ended up not dating until, graduation, high school graduation, okay? It's just God's mercy in my life, no offense. All right, my brother, however, he had a date when he was 5 to an ice skating rink. Now, it wasn't a group, you know, there were chaperones. And then as it turned out, you know, I got married when I was 21, he got married when he was 38. So you never know how it's going to go, right? It's just, it turns out differently for different people. It's okay. So when, there's not a magic age, all right? Now, I hear occasionally an age put on it, right? Either by the teen or the parent or both, all right? And my question to you guys is, are you sure that you're going to be mature by that age? And what if you're not? Then are you going to wait, or are you going to like go into it with your immature self? And is the other person mature if you're not? Because if they are, what are they doing with you? Does that make sense? So if you're not, then I think you need to wait. That would be my advice for not setting a magic age on it. All right, now, don't jump the gun. Song of Solomon says not to awaken love before its time, okay? And that's basically saying don't jump the gun. With physical affection and with emotional attachment, both of those can be jumping the gun. Now, I could talk for an hour on both of those, okay? So if you want to talk more, we can. But do you get the point of don't jump the gun? All right, it's going to be healthy to wait until you're ready. Now, being ready is when the biblical principles indicate that you're ready and your parents confirm it, right? And again, this is parenting from faith, not fear. There's a lot more to say about that. We'll talk about that more later. But do you get just the point of a principle saying don't jump the gun, right? Don't start before you're ready because it is a big deal. And then don't use the world to determine if you're ready or not, all right? Just because you're academically mature doesn't mean you're mature enough to have a relationship that could lead to marriage. Does that make sense? Okay, so what does wisdom look like? All right, now we're at the bottom of the sheet here, and there's a little graphic that I hope you can read. I can't read it for sure. But this is something I'll try to go through quickly. This is one that I would encourage you to look at carefully later, too. Talk about it as a family. And if anybody thinks that something on here is messed up, please let me know, okay? And we'll talk it through, okay? Because I have had some people misinterpret this before. I taught this one time, and there was a 20-something that thought I was, like, really hyper-marriage, you know? Like, oh, you got to discern who you're going to marry before you date them, and I was not saying that, okay? All right. Now, where it says initial attraction, that means where you first thought, oh, I like that one, okay? And notice the short distance between that and declaring the feelings, all right? Now, most people, it's not like, ooh, I like you. That doesn't, normally it's like best friend. Hey, don't tell anybody, but I like so-and-so. Oh, of course. And then they tell their other best friend, and then they tell other best friend. And then in like 15 minutes, everybody knows that you like that person. They're making room for you to sit down the next day. And then they're all like choosing sides if anybody does anything wrong and all that stuff, right? Does that sound familiar? Okay. So declare feelings shortly after there. It's fun. It feels good. People love love. People like to talk about who likes who, all that stuff, right? But is it helpful? All right. Well, what it does is it starts this progression, okay, where you're increasing your emotional attachment. If you do anything physical, that's just going to ramp it up faster, and it's typically driven by feeling. So you get this, like, okay, now we're progressing fast. So fast that if you keep going in that direction, this is what the world does. You feel ready for marriage before you are. So you feel ready physically. You want the physical benefits of marriage. Some people even feel emotionally ready, but they're not actually ready. They're not spiritually ready or mentally, you know, et cetera. They don't have wisdom, maturity, that kind of thing. All right, so now they're put themselves in this place where they have an extended time of waiting, which requires a lot of patience, a lot of self-control, a lot of wisdom. Does that make sense? Whereas the other diagram, wise timing, you wait on the front end. So you're attracted to someone, but you hold off on declaring the feelings. Now, let me just tell you, from my own personal experience, the holy poker face has saved my tail on more than one occasion. Okay, this is all pre-long marriage, okay? But to wait and pray and get counsel, you may not like waiting. You're like, oh, I like that person so much. I want to tell the person. Or what if somebody else gets the person, you know? Like, I mean, we're both 15. Like, you never know what could happen. I mean, I got to lock this thing down now, you know, because there's other suitors out there, you know? Okay. Could it be that the difficulty, the self-control that's required to wait initially could actually play to your favor later, right? Because you might find out in 3 weeks that you'd never marry that person, right? They may be cute on the outside, but they ain't cute on the inside. And you don't want to find out the hard way again. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so, or it could be that somebody that loves you and knows you is like, you know what? That person is not for you. Okay? Now, after you do get in a relationship at some point, you're still going to have that progression. You're going to increase the emotional attachment. But hopefully, when you feel ready for marriage, you'll actually be ready for marriage. Okay? If you take it slow, etc. All right, now there's, you can see that it's risky for me to even throw this out because there's a ton that can be said here, right? So this is like a jumping off point for future conversations, okay? For you at home with each other, we're going to have, for high schoolers, we're going to have a D group follow-up discussion. And on March 16th, I'm going to be following up with parents to keep the conversation going, okay? Now, how teens and parents can help each other in this area. One, talk about it. Talk about it. Set aside time to talk about it. Don't talk about it when you're too tired or you're, you know, it's the bad time for you to talk about or you're on the heels of an argument or whatever. Set aside time to have a peaceful, calm, civil, mature, healthy discussion about it, okay? Now, teens, don't hide. Don't hide. Proverbs 18:1 says that to resist isolation. Resist isolation is, there's wisdom in that, right? So you don't want to be isolated. You don't want to hide. I mean, think about it. If God has put these two parents in your life to guide you in life, let's not separate this area out from it. But now you may say, well, it's because of how I think they're going to respond, all right? So for parents, don't freak out, okay? That's like the number one thing I hear when teens won't confide in their parents, and I'm like, why don't you talk to your parents? They'll freak out, right? Now, some of that is not true. If you express any degree of elevated passion, that's freaking out, all right? That's not what we're talking about. But don't approach this out of fear, right? God works all things together for good, okay? Lord, thank you so much for this time that we've had together and with you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you love us more than we know, and that you have an amazing plan for us. This life is short and it's fragile, but when we're in you, we are on solid ground. Thank you so much for that. Lord, please encourage each teenager here. Specifically, this area can be a real trial, and we just ask that you would encourage, comfort, redirect, help them to pursue wisdom, Lord. And we pray for parents. Give them faith. Help them to parent out of faith and not fear. Help them to have lead their teens through good, healthy conversations about this area. And may we all go to you for help. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.